Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we on, Russ? All right. Hey, we have some guests here this morning from all over Timbuktu. Howard, Dick, where are you, brother? Why don't you introduce your crew that's here, if you could? Can you do that?
Well, actually, the crew from British Columbia, I don't see them here. One of the guys is not feeling very good, but anyways, we got some guests from Richmond, Virginia that came in yesterday. You guys want to stand up? We go back a long, long time ago, years ago, even when we were in Venezuela, and they came and helped us do some construction on our house there in front of the Sea of all the Caribbean there, and it's like they were such a blessing, and yeah, they just blessed the socks off of us, and we want to do the same for them again as they come over here to help us with our construction here in San Carlos now. So anyways, yeah.
Welcome. We have a very, very special guest, a longtime friend of this congregation that we don't get to see very often, is here this morning. Happens to even be her birthday. Heather Hicks, would you stand, please? Let's welcome Heather back. And if she'd introduce her friends that are with her. So,
well, my birthday's coming up at the end of the month, but I got to bring some friends for a very fun weekend here with everyone and enjoying the beauty of San Carlos. So I brought Becky, who's my childhood best friend, and we grew up together in Oregon, and Amy and Lori and Cheryl, all from Phoenix, very close friends, and we've just had a wonderful time here in San Carlos.
Anybody else that's a first timer or a visitor here this morning? We'd love to recognize you as well. And praise the Lord. All right. What's somebody? Yeah, there. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Yeah. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. We're going to finish these last two Sundays together in the book of Philippians, talking about living this morning in the reality of transformation. Philippians chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 3. Well, I'll start in verse 1 and I'll read through verse 11. Paul and Timothy, it's page 980, by the way. Sorry about that. I know you're going, tell me, where's the page? Tell me. 980. I've trained you, haven't I? I'm not sure that's good. You've not learned the books of the Bible because I give you the page number all the time. 980. Verse 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers of me, with me, of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray for a minute. Father, would you transcend our human understanding this morning with the power of the Holy Spirit that you've sent to live in us and to dwell with us. And God, would you fill us this morning and anoint us with your powerful presence so that we can comprehend how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ that's been poured out for us. That truly we can say We're living in the reality of transformation because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, open our eyes, we pray, and open our hearts and our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Help us to set aside, Lord, the things of this last week and the things that are in front of us this next week. And help us to come to you for these next moments with sincerity and willingness and a joy to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Living in the reality of transformation. Are you? Paul says in chapter 12 of Romans, verses 1 and 2, offer yourselves, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God, which are holy and pleasing to Him. And he says in verse 2, be transformed in the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Be transformed. He's just assuming that when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ with your life, something changes inside of your heart and your soul. Transformation takes place. Paul uses other terminology to describe that. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Christ lives now in you, the hope of glory. You know, I think Christians struggle with this. I struggle with it, don't you? Living this transformed life. Oh, it's so tempting to live the way the world lives. It's even tempting to think and speak and act the way the world lives. Instead of living in the reality that the God of the universe, the Holy Trinity, the three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have gone to the maximum limits of the universe in His scope, not ours, to come down and meet you and me right where we're at, so that we can experience the fullness of Him and His truth in our lives as we live both now and forevermore unto eternity. Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, and if you want to read the background, you go back to Acts chapter 16, which tells of Paul's first time in Philippi as he walks into the city. And it's Philippi, the Philippian church is the very first church that was planted as in one of the Roman colonies in Europe. It's the first convert, Acts chapter 16 tells us, that Paul had as he went to Philippi and preached the gospel was Lydia, a seller of purple goods. I always think that's so interesting that the scripture is so intimate it throws in what she was even selling. Purple of all things. Christy, you'd love that, wouldn't you? It's there in Acts chapter 16 that we're told that Paul and Silas are imprisoned for removing a demon from a fortune-telling slave girl. And it's there in Philippi in Acts 16 that as they're in jail singing and worshiping at midnight to the Lord who's transformed them, that suddenly God causes an earthquake and all the doors of the prison come flying open and all their chains of the prisoners, the stocks, are fallen, have fallen off of them in that miraculous event of God. This was the power of God at work. It wasn't just a natural disaster that happened, as we so often think about it in our untransformed thinking. It was there in Philippi where that night after that occurrence happened that the Philippian jailer of all things, when he saw that the jail cells were all open, the doors were open, and he thought the prisoners were going to would have escaped, he was going to commit suicide. And Paul stopped him and said, "Don't, just turn on the lights, we're all here." And it was at that the Philippian jailer took them out and bandaged their wounds because Paul and Silas had been severely beaten with rods at the taking and removing of that demon from that fortune-telling slave girl. And the Philippian jailer took them out and ministered to them and put healing oil on them, I'm sure, and wiped the blood and sweat and dirt off of their wounds and cared for them and took them into his home and fed them. And it was there in that moment, of that very intimate moment when the Holy Spirit moved in that Philippian jailer's heart and he asked that earth-moving, eternal, soul-moving question. Paul, Silas, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be right with God in my life? What must I do so that my family is okay for all of eternity? And Paul looked him in the eye and said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and all your household. Well, it's about 10 years later. Paul writes this letter from another prison, and probably in Rome, most likely. Most people are agreed on that. And he writes this letter to the Philippian church, who's now 10 years old. And he wants to encourage the believers to live in the fullness of the joy as transformed citizens of a heavenly community. They're no longer a part of the earth. They've been bought and paid for, and they're now citizens of heaven. And there's a joy in this transformation that's happened within them because they believe the gospel. And he wants to remind them to live with a growing commitment to serve God and to serve one another in love. Can I say something to you this morning on my second to the last Sunday? San Carlos Community Church, live with a growing commitment in your soul to serve God. It doesn't matter whether Rich and Karen are here or not. We've had 5 good years. It's been blessed years with you. But just because we're leaving doesn't give you a break from God. Live with a growing, ever-growing commitment in your personal life to serve and love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your might, your strength. And Paul is telling the Philippian believers, live to serve one another in love. In love. Not in grumbling, not in backbiting, not in gossiping about one another. Learning to serve one another in love. Setting your own will and your own selfish desires aside and say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to live growing in love. I'm going to abound in love for my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ in San Carlos Community Church and all over the world. And I think he says 3 very powerful things to reinforce the fact that they need to live in that joy of Jesus Christ in their souls. The first thing he says, he talks about partnership. He says in verse 3, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. There's that joy. Why? Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. These believers in Philippi have been faithful partners with Paul in his ministry these last 10 years. They've helped him through numerous ways, both physically and financially, through their sending of gifts and their prayers and so forth. Matter of fact, just flip over to chapter 4, verse 14 for a moment, where he acknowledges that. chapter 4, verse 14. He says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. See, they helped him because they entered into partnership with him. And that's exactly what he's saying in the opening of for chapter first, verse chapter 1, verse 5. I thank God for you for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul's remembering their gracious, loving acts of kindness towards him. That's what partnership's all about. You and I are in a partnership. You're in a partnership with the people you're sitting next to in this congregation this morning. You're in a partnership with Heather Hicks and Howard and Susan and all our missionaries. I don't want to miss anybody who might be here this morning. All the missionaries that we support. You see, every time, listen to this, hear this morning. Every time you open your heart by opening your billfold, every time you make a contribution towards a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, every time you pray for one of those folks, you're becoming a partner with them in spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. St. Carl's Community Church, you're in a partnership with 11 missionary units and missions agencies. Every time on Sunday when one of the elders gets up here and prays, when we gather and pray for one of our missionaries as we've been doing over these times, we're expressing our partnership with them in the kingdom of God, in the work of the gospel. I thank my God because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Can I ask you a question? Are you a very good partner? Are you a good partner? Are you a lousy partner? Are you an active partner? Are you a partner that's behind the scenes and nobody even knows you exist? How good a partner are you in the gospel of the kingdom of God? Paul makes an interesting statement here in verse 5 that I just think we can't miss along with partnership. He says, I thank my God because of your partnership in the gospel. Here it comes, from the first day until now. From the first day. Everybody has a first day. Paul had a first day the moment he walked into Philippi. Lydia had a first day the moment that she heard Paul preach the gospel and she believed that gospel and she became a partnership in the partnership in the gospel with Paul. The Philippian jailer had a first day experience with Paul when he heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippian jailer, and you and your household will be saved. You see, those people, on their first day, they got transformed. They immediately stepped into the reality of transformation. Listen, every one of us sitting here this morning is called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have a first day experience of salvation. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Have you? I hope you have. But if you haven't, you must. You need to. It's desperately important for you to repent and believe the gospel and have your first day experience. I had mine in August of 1972. God, in His mercy, 17 years of age, took me to a place where I could hear the gospel. And I didn't know what it was. Never heard anything like it before. But God moved in my life and my soul, and I got out of my chair and I went forward that night. I was at an evangelistic crusade and gave my life to Jesus Christ and repented of my sin and turned my life over to Him. And I was transformed at that moment. I felt a weight lifted off of my soul like I have never experienced in ever since in my life. Have you had your first day experience like that? If not, you need to have one. Don't wait until the last day of your life. Get in on the transformational reality that is right now available for all of us to live and step into and to enjoy. Verse 6 says, God begins a good work in you when that happens. A good work. That's a first day experience of salvation, trusting in Jesus Christ with all your faith. Because righteousness from God comes through faith, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 9. It'll begin the partnership that you can have with other people in the gospel. Well, a question comes out of this partnership statement that Paul makes. Why did Paul feel so deeply about this partnership? Why did it touch him at the core of his soul that he would write these Philippian believers 10 years later and encourage them in the joy of continuing in their experienced relationship with Jesus Christ in the joy that God has made available to them? Well, he answers that in verse 7. He says they're partakers of grace. Partakers of grace. He says in verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. Here it comes. For you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. What does it mean to be a partaker of grace? Last week, we were partakers of the Lord's Supper. We partook together. We drank of the cup and we ate of the bread, remembering the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We participated together in the bread and the cup. We partook. We were partakers. Paul's saying, Philippians, you are partakers with me. Whether I'm in prison in Rome or whether I'm preaching as a free man in the temple, you are partakers with me of the gospel. God's grace is being poured into people's lives the way it's poured into ours, and it's really something beyond this world to experience and behold. It's the partaking of grace made possible through the Savior Jesus Christ. Paul has such deep feelings for these Philippian believers because he knows that they've been transformed by the love of God that's been poured into them, and they've tasted of this grace that comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been transformed by the love of God in the same manner that he himself was transformed on the Damascus Road that night when God got a hold of him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Paul said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And we know at that moment, Paul believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself became a partaker of grace. A murderer was transformed in the reality of the gospel, of the love of God being poured into his life. You are partakers with me of grace, he tells them. You know, sometimes in our Christian life as a believer, it's pretty easy to feel like we're not making any progress with the Lord. Is that true? Sometimes it's easy to feel like maybe we're not moving forward. Listen, you're a partaker of grace. You're a partner in the gospel, Paul says. You can make progress. God will help you grow in grace in your life until the day He's brought you to completion when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Don't give up. Why? Because God doesn't give up on you. Because you're a partaker of His grace. His grace is unceasingly flowing out of eternity towards you and in your life if you're willing to receive it and enjoy it in your life. God's yearning for you. Paul said, I'm yearning for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. God's yearning for you, my friend, this morning. He's yearning with you for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He promises you that He'll finish the good work that He's begun in you. Don't give up. Don't get waylaid by the devil, the liar, the father of lies. It's all a work of grace at work in you. Be a strong partaker of His grace. Drink deep of God's grace in your life. He'll satisfy that thirst for your soul if you're willing to drink deep of Him. And you ask, how can I do that, Rich? How can I drink deep? How can I enjoy the partnership? How can I enjoy being a partaker of the grace? How can I be a faithful partner and a strong partaker? Well, it's the third and final point. You're a prayer recipient whether you know it or not. Somebody's praying for you. Somebody is praying for you. You're a prayer recipient. Paul says in verse 9, look at that with me if you would. He says, and it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Somebody's praying for you as Paul was praying for the Philippian believers. Somewhere, somebody's praying for you just like Paul was. Not selfish prayers, but prayers asking God to fill you with the love of God so that you may grow more and more and more in knowledge and depth and insight like Jesus Christ. And you say, who's praying for me? I am. I pray for you all the time. I often wondered after I became a Christian who'd been praying for me all those years. I know somebody was. Somebody was. And somebody else is probably praying for you too, even though you may not be aware of it. Some of you have been praying for people for many, many, many years. Not selfish prayers, but prayers asking God that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can grow and the people you are praying for can grow more and more like Christ. This love growing in us, Paul says, will affect everything about us, he tells the Philippian believers. Well, you say, how? He says it will impact your knowledge, it will impact your wisdom, it will impact your decision-making process and your discernment, your judgments about things in this life. This love that's being prayed for you will lead you, Paul says, to purity and blamelessness on the day that Jesus Christ returns to this earth. This love, Paul says, will make you fruitful. I want to be fruitful. Do you? To live holy and pleasing to God. Filled, verse 11, with the fruit of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. This love abounding in you will bring praise and glory and honor to God, and that's why you and I are alive. You're alive because God put you here to bring praise and glory and honor to Himself. Remember the second question of spiritual theology? What's God up to? He's in the process of making people like you and I beautiful on the inside so that we'll bring praise and glory and honor to Him in all things. There are people who are praying that you will continue to grow in the abounding love of Jesus Christ. And as you do, the gospel will continue to transform you into the reality it was meant to transform you in. It will deepen your partnership in the gospel ministry. And you will continue to partake of that glorious grace that's being poured out unceasingly, unendingly into your life for you. You see, the whole central focus of this is Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 5, 1 and 2, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Christ is the one who makes you a partner in the gospel. It's Jesus Christ who makes you a partaker of His grace. It's Jesus Christ who causes His love to abound in you in answer to somebody's prayer, including the Apostle Paul's, that you would abound in love more and more and more in this life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, that this would become such a transforming reality inside of our souls that it would so motivate us to seek You and to hunger and thirst after You like we've never hungered and thirsted in the past. Would You continue to well up inside of us who know You as believers to the glory of Your name? That we get out of bed every morning determined that we're going to live our lives as partners in the gospel. Determined to be partakers of grace, even when this life seems like it's falling apart around us. Even when the father of lies is lying to us, help us to be partakers of Your grace and believe the truth. Help us, Father, to abound more and more as prayer recipients, because You are God who hears our prayers and You answer them and You take joy in answering them. Because when we seek, we'll find You. When we knock, the door will be open to You. When we ask, it will be given to us. Lord, help us to become a people who seek and ask and knock on the throne of grace and mercy of heaven. Lord, transform us more and more as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if someone here this morning's not there yet because they've not had their first day experience, Father, I pray You'd work in their lives, that they would listen to You and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they would run not away from You, Father, but open and fully open towards You, to receive what You're waiting, so richly waiting, to pour into their lives. God, may they become very quickly soon partakers of Your grace through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Lord, show them that Jesus Christ is the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. He'll quench their thirst. He'll satisfy their souls. He's the bread of life for them. Father, do what only You can do But God, we would humbly pray, Father, do it for the glory of your name and for our well-being. Dear Jesus, amen. Amen. And amen.